Good morning, and we're very welcome this morning as we continue to look in Colossians. In fact, we will finish this letter today. And as a reminder, next Sunday will be a special Sunday of our 25th anniversary as a church. We'll have a special service for that, and lunch, we'll have lunch afterwards. So all who can join us for lunch, you're very welcome to do so. But today we will finish up Colossians in chapter 4, verse 7, through the end of the chapter, end of the letter even. Now, this is the 12th and last sermon in the series. And we've looked at how Paul was very proud of this church and wanted to encourage them, even though he never visited the church, nor did he ever meet the church, the people, as far as we know. He thanked God for them, and he prayed for them in chapter 1, verse 3. He knew of their faith through Epaphras, who had shared the gospel with the people and helped start the church, chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. He encouraged them to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord in verse 10 of that same chapter. Paul reminded them many times about who Jesus is and that everything that they have, including their salvation, is because of Christ. As you see in that word cloud, for just the words in Colossians, you see the main words, Christ, God, Lord, one body. Those are the main words used in this letter, Paul reminded them that his main focus as a missionary, a preacher, an evangelist, a church planter was Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Now, Paul wanted healthy, spiritually mature churches who could carry on the work in their communities. And because of this focus, when Paul heard of outsiders bringing in false teaching and tried to discount and discredit the church, he wanted to write this letter to encourage the church to not listen to those lies, but stay focused on the truth, which is Christ. He reminded them to put off their old ways. Don't put on those old clothes anymore, but put on the new. Stay focused on Jesus. And forget your sinful past. Put on the new because they are God's chosen people. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Forgive each other. And above all else, put on the love of God, which binds together everything in perfect harmony. He reminded them to be mindful of all their relationships because it is God they are serving. So be steadfast in prayer. Be thankful. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Pray for wisdom to know what to say, when to say, and how to say it. Paul loved this church and he was excited about the opportunities the people had. To further encourage them, he sent some messengers to encourage them face to face and to pass along his greetings to this church and other churches and individuals. And we will look at how Paul enlisted workers, how he encouraged workers, and how he empowered others to serve. So let's read the end of this letter, Colossians 4, 7 to 18. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that is taking place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha in the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. One of the gifts that Paul had was the ability to train workers to continue the work. He modeled his ministry after Christ, just as Patrick modeled his ministry after Christ. Jesus had 12 men who traveled with him for 3 years, observing and learning how Jesus cared for people and met their needs. There were not only the 12 disciples, there are many disciples of Jesus who all also followed him. And at one point in Luke's gospel, Jesus sent out 72, 36 pairs to preach, teach, and heal. Each disciple would have their own area of ministry after Jesus ascended to heaven. They would train people for ministry in the new churches. Well, Ireland's Patrick used the same idea, having 12 men travel with him throughout Ireland. When he came to a village to preach, when there were enough people to start a church, Patrick would leave 2 men to help that church get started, and he would take 2 of the new Christians with him, so that he always was always teaching and training 12 men. Paul was always teaching and training men to carry on the work for him. They would help him as needed, but in time they would continue and carry out their own ministry, training people themselves. Paul tells us of 2 men that he had enlisted for service, Tychicus and Onesimus. Tychicus was mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. Here, Acts 20, verse 4, Ephesians 6, verse 21, 2 Timothy 4, 12, and Titus 3, 12. Tychicus was most likely a new convert while Paul was in Ephesus, and he started traveling with him in Acts 20, verse 4, when Paul and 7 men returned to Jerusalem carrying the offering from the Ephesian church for the poor in the Jerusalem church. Tychicus stayed with Paul when he was arrested and imprisoned, and he was on the voyage to Rome that was shipwrecked, and during his time in Rome while awaiting trial. Now, Tychicus was described as a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant. Paul trusted him completely, and because of this, he enlisted him for service to travel the 1,000 miles from Rome to Colossae and to the churches in Asia province to deliver letters to the churches in Colossae, to Laodicea, a personal letter to Philemon, and the letter to the Ephesian church. He was also to tell the churches everything that had happened with Paul. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities, that you may know how we are, and they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. But not only was he to deliver letters and tell of Paul's activities, but he may encourage your hearts. Now, we have no writings from Tychicus, nothing other than what we know from Paul. Yet he was beloved, he was faithful, and he had a servant attitude. He witnessed much of Paul's ministry and had his own experiences alongside Paul. If Paul could not be there due to being in prison, who better than Tychicus to be there for the church? Now, the letter to Philemon was concerning a former slave and now a free Christian man, Onesimus, who was also sent along with Tychicus for this vital mission to the churches. Onesimus is from Colossae and also referred to as a faithful and beloved brother. Now we know little of these two men except what Paul wrote. Yet what can we learn from them? Well, first, there is greatness in small things done for Christ. These men did things for Paul and for the churches, yet they went unnoticed to the people around them. They went unnoticed to us. We don't really know much about them. But they were faithful ministers because they did what was asked of them without seeking any notoriety. Now, a friend of mine just retired. He worked as the lead custodian for the church in Colorado, the big church, big building. He had a couple of people working for him. They kept the church clean. They refilled the paper towels and the toilet paper dispensers. They replaced burned out light bulbs. They set up chairs and tore down chairs and set things up and put them back. And the church is always having stuff, is always having things done through nearly every day of the week. So there was always activity going on. John loved working for the church. He loved taking care of the facilities. He wasn't a teacher or a pastor, but he loved serving. He sang in the choir for years, always faithful to be there. He's a beloved brother, a faithful minister of sorts, not the preaching and teaching type, but serving people and a fellow servant. He never sought any acknowledgement, yet he was always a great encourager. He did the small things that are great in God's eyes. But also we realize that momentary things done for Christ are eternal. These letters outlasted the Roman Empire. Tychicus and Onesimus' names are remembered for eternity. The town of Colossae is a pile of rubble from an earthquake that happened about 5 years after this letter was delivered. Yet, the church today has benefited greatly and much stronger because these letters were written and delivered. The churches of Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis do not exist today. But the ministry by these churches continues today through our church and through the churches in Europe. We are here because of the faithfulness of these men and those small churches. Now, it wasn't until we moved here that I truly started understanding the importance of the greetings sections in Paul's letters. When you live in another country and rarely get to see someone you know, that you grew up with or knew for many years, it is encouraging to hear greetings from those people. Last year when the handbell choir visited, they brought greetings from other people from the church. It is encouraging to know that other people are thinking about you. And it is nice to hear some news about different people. Not all the news is good. You know, someone may have died. Or someone's made poor choices in life and dealing with those consequences. But either way, it is encouraging to get news about people who you know and people who you are praying for and who are praying for you. Well, Paul mentioned six men in these next few verses. He divided them into two groups of three Jews and three Gentiles. First, he sends greetings from Aristarchus, Mark, or John Mark, and Jesus, called Justus. The only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been great comfort to me. Aristarchus was one of those seven men, along with Tychicus, who traveled back to Jerusalem with Paul. Mark, also known as John Mark, was Barnabas' cousin, and though Paul didn't want him around at first, because Mark was young and he left the first missionary journey early, Mark became very important to Paul and was with him for a long time. In fact, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:11, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." Whatever had happened between Paul and Mark had been patched up and the relationship restored, so much so that Paul desired Mark's help in ministry. We know nothing of Justus, but as mentioned earlier, Paul must have thought him to be a faithful worker to even to mention him. And then Paul mentioned three Gentile workers. Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. Epaphras was well known by the Colossae church because it was he who brought the gospel to the city and planted the church. He was from there. Paul reminded the church that he was always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Not only was he concerned for the church, but Paul noted that Epaphras worked hard for all the churches in that area. Epaphras had a heart for those churches that he helped start. And when you are a part of something new, you like to see that project flourish. And when it is a church, there is even more of an interest. You don't want the church just to survive. You want it to thrive. And Epaphras prayed earnestly for the church to be spiritually mature and to follow God's will. Now, how does a church follow God's will? By faithful teaching and preaching of the word, by encouraging each other through prayer and fellowship, by a spirit of unity, and being a community of believers that desire to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known to everyone in their community. Luke, he was the beloved physician and the only Gentile writer in the New Testament, writing one of the four gospels and the book of Acts. Luke traveled with Paul for much of his ministry. Luke probably understood Paul better than most people. He was most likely known by everyone who knew Paul. Demas, though, would turn out to be a disappointment to Paul. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul wrote to Timothy the sad news that Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Demas was with Paul in Rome while Paul was in prison and while he was writing this letter, but eventually he would be swayed by the pleasures of the world and leave Paul. Ministry partnerships and relationships can be difficult. We are all fallible, sinful humans that will argue, irritate each other, and disappoint each other. But if we do everything in love, in God's love, His love binds all things together in harmony. And these six men from six different backgrounds, different countries, different personalities, I'm sure that every day wasn't a peaceful day. I'm sure there were days that they disagreed with each other on how ministry should happen. But the importance is that every day we keep in prayer for the ministry. We keep the ministry in prayer. We have a heart for the church, that the church would stand mature and fully assured of God's will. That's our goal. As I mentioned earlier, it's nice to hear from folks from home, and it's also nice to send greetings back. Last year, we not only sent greetings, but we sent a couple of suitcases worth of Madeline's things back. We still have a few more. Anyway, in these last few verses, Paul sent his personal greetings to three churches: the church in Laodicea and Colossae, and also a church was meeting in the home of Nympha. Paul never visited these churches. He never met the people, but he knew of them, and he knew the workers who started the churches. The churches are there because of Paul's faithfulness to the gospel. And Paul was faithful in enlisting and training workers to continue the work, and these churches are a product of his faithfulness. One of the ways he encouraged these churches was for the churches to share the letters that he had written to other churches. While each letter was personal to those churches, they were also universal in their scope. We, Grace Baptist Church, benefit from the letter written to the churches in Colossae, Ephesus, Philippi, Galatia, Rome, Corinth, and Thessalonica. we benefit from all those letters written to all those different churches. Paul wanted each church to share the letters. He wanted this church, this letter read in the church in Colossae. He wanted the letter written that he wrote to Laodicea read there, and then he wanted them to switch to trade letters and read the other letters in those churches. He wanted each church to share the letters, to learn from his teaching, and to be encouraged by his writings so that they could encourage each other. There is strength and encouragement in collaboration between churches. We are part of the Court Carey Initiative of Baptist Churches. We have 10 churches that meet monthly to pray together. We plan a biannual combined service. Before COVID, we had a combined service on a yearly basis. Then we started to change it to every 2 years. And then COVID hit, and we haven't had one since. So we will meet again this September, or October, actually, for the first time in 5 years. It is an encouraging service when 10 churches are together, worshiping together, praying together, and seeing that we are not alone, but we have other church families. We also have the MCC Munster Christian Camps that the 10 churches work together to help encourage the youth and teens in our churches. We also are part of an association of Baptist churches throughout Ireland. 121 churches now that help support a Bible college and missionaries in Ireland, into Europe, and also in Peru. Now, I enjoy this little message from Paul in verse 17 to one individual. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. What ministry? Who is Archippus? He's mentioned in verse 2 of the letter to Philemon, but other than that, we know nothing. What ministry did the Lord give him? We may never know. Yet this one sentence is an encouragement to all of us. 2,000 years later, excuse me, we can insert our name. Mark, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Patrick, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I can name off each one of you. You can put your name in there. See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Whatever God has called you to do, then see it through. Fulfill the work that the Lord has called you to do. Now, how did Paul fulfill his ministry? In his second letter to Timothy, Paul encouraged Timothy and explained his own ministry. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's the encouragement for all of us. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. That's how we fulfill our ministry for the Lord. And as Paul signs off from his letter, he asks for the churches to remember him. Remember that he is in prison. Pray for him. And may God's grace, God's perfect grace, be with you. Even though Paul was in prison, he did not stop in his efforts to fulfill the ministry given to him by God. He enlisted workers by sending them to deliver letters and to encourage those churches. He encouraged others to serve with him. And he wrote letters to empower the churches to continue in their ministries. Paul was only modeling what he was taught by Jesus. Jesus enlisted workers to continue the work for him, his disciples, and others. He encouraged people to serve with him by showing them humility in serving others. And Jesus empowered others to serve him. Our ministries as individuals and as a church are centered in him. If Christ is not our focus, then everything we strive to do is in vain. It is Christ, and only Christ, in which we have been enlisted to serve, to encourage others to serve, and to empower others to serve. Do you know Jesus today as your Savior and Lord? Is your life centered in Christ? Is your eternal life assured because of Christ? If not, please talk to me today. And if so, then continue to strive to fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord.